this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Thank you, Chris. Don't you love this guy? He's such a fantastic father and great encouragement to all of us. And he's written a great book, which I've been slowly reading. So buy that and give it to a dad or someone. But let's pray over this word one more time. Father, I thank you for your word, the power of it, the great love that is in it, Lord God. We think it says in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sin, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit of hell and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We just thank you, Lord, for your life in your word today and the work of your spirit giving us clear reality on what you want to say to us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Grab a seat. Thank you, guys. And yes, all guys at the moment. Very cool guys too. Very cool. I think that's what the shrug was. It was a bit of a cool kind of, I'm the man, kind of cool shrug from Justin. I think Justin has become the coolest guy in church. Overtaken Caleb and Jono. You want to pray those kind of prayers about God renewing your youth like the eagles when you turn 50? You need to encourage yourself. So happy birthday to me for last week. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn shining brighter to the full life of light of day. So, you know, you're getting brighter, you're getting better.
Amen. And everyone said amen, yes.
Comes around pretty quick though, doesn't it, when you're living a bit. And I think it's all, you know, we're literally hurtling through space right now at over 100,000 kilometres an hour, and the Earth is spinning on its axis at 1,600 kilometres an hour. So, you know, no wonder I got here fast, you know. It'd take long to get around. Isn't that right, John? Just lapping it there, just one after the other, round, round, round we go, round the star. Whose idea was that anyway? All right, let's get to the Word of God. Let's get to the Word of God today. God loves you. All right, we can all go home now. No, God loves you. And that's been a part of my journey this year is when you come near to God, you tend to understand just a little bit more. There's another layer of God's love for him to fold over you, wrap you up in. When I was very young, I was 8 years old, parents decided to go overseas. And on the way back from this trip, we went to Tahiti. And I have a few memories of that, of that the stars were incredible. I played with a local kid in the jungle. The water was amazing. And Dad took me down to this shack, and it was a shop, and in it they had these pearls, and black pearls. And all I remember was that these things are valuable. These are amazing. What are these? These pearls. And that was my memory of these pearls. But pearls, Jesus uses the pearl to describe you. And in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 45 to 46, he tells this story. Heaven's kingdom realm is also like a jewel merchant. That's Jesus. Pretty smart, knows what he's looking for. Really intelligent, actually. Really understands what he's looking for. A jewel merchant in search of rare pearls. When he discovered one very precious and exquisite pearl, he immediately gave up all he had in exchange for it. In exchange for it. There's a great exchange that took place. There's an exchange going on. And it's interesting that Jesus uses a pearl to describe you. He doesn't use a diamond or a ruby or a precious stone. A pearl is created by a living organism. It's the product of suffering, of irritation by something that's not supposed to be in the environment gets into the environment. And when they make pearls, they literally crack the oyster and a little bit of the shell gets in there and the oyster suffers. And to deal with the suffering, it just wraps it up in layer after layer after layer. And after about 3 years, they crack it open. And unfortunately for the oyster, that's the end of its life. Now, something has to die to get the get the pearl out. The biggest pearl is about that big. This guy found it in a clam. Most of them are in oysters. It's sort of like that high, that big. It's worth $100 million. $100 million. And this Filipino guy found it and stuck it under his bed. And then his house burnt down. And then it survived. And he brought it out and the authorities got it. And now it's there. They've got it now. But it's a massive pearl. But to get a pearl, someone has to die. Isn't that interesting? Someone has to die. And in the vast, unmeasured, extravagant, passionate, all-encompassing love of Jesus, he gave up everything to pay a price that you are God's treasure. You are his treasure and God wants you. He came looking for you. You're accepted. You're highly favored. You're the object of his special care and affection. Everything he does actually in this universe revolves around you. And the interesting thing about love is that it lies dormant until it is activated by someone else. Love lies dormant until it is activated by someone else. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That's the end goal. Like, I love my children. Two of them here, two of them out there. He gave the right to have this connection, this relationship, this activation of this love. I listen to J. John podcast. I've heard him say this several times. The heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart. And in Isaiah 53, in verse 2 to 6, I could almost sing the old John, was Colin Buchanan. That's it. "We all like sheep have gone astray. Ba, ba, do, ba, ba." Do everyone have to do the ba, ba, do, ba, ba's with their children? "We're all like sheep have wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything we've done, on him. Leaves us in the intelligent position of a sheep and of rejecting God, of not accepting him. And whether you've lived in church your whole life or uneducated ignorance, no one in your family ever knew anything about God, no one said anything about God, you knew nothing about God, we're all in the same boat. Every heart has rejected God. We've lived in this ignorance or this rejection, and from heaven's perspective, that's actually called sin and has a few problems in that it pushes God away, it causes death, causes you to be eternally separate from God. And it tends to hurt people, and God doesn't punish you for sin. He sent Jesus to release you from it, and God doesn't reject you. He came in Jesus to make a transaction for it. Our faith is based on facts and evidence of Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross according to Scripture, that he was buried and that he rose from the dead on the third day. And our faith appropriates these facts. It gets hold of these facts and it makes them ours. They become the equity of this transaction. And in these facts, when we focus on these facts, this transaction, one all-inclusive for everyone, transaction between heaven and earth, what took place on the cross is an exchange for your rejection of him and any other rejection, that is. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become righteousness of God." And all the evil consequences of sin were piled on him, so that in return, all the benefits of Jesus' obedience to the Father are available to each one of us. Totally undeserved. There's no sort of sense of you've got to be good and then you'll get. It's all by grace. And so he took our sins so we can have his blessing. He took our spiritual poverty so we can have the wealth of heaven. He took our death so we can have his life. He took our shame and disgrace so we can have a double portion and the inheritance of honor and joy. He took rejection by men and by God himself, a double rejection so he can have an acceptance and restoration to a loving father. And Jesus was rejected, deeply rejected. He was rejected in his hometown. I was like, get out of here. We know, who are you? Are you? Who is this carpenter's son? Pilate brought out Jesus, King of the Jews, Barabbas, the murderer and the thief. Who shall we release to you, the King of the Jews or Barabbas? And everyone yelled out, crucify that guy. They rejected him and they set Barabbas free. That was a dumb thing to do. It's part of God's will. The disciples, when he went to the cross, they all fled. They all left him. Peter denied him. They rejected his identity. And when he went to the cross and he became sin, for the first time ever, God turned his back and turned away. And he was rejected, the ultimate scary rejection by God himself. He was rejected, absolutely, totally rejected. And he doesn't take offense at our putting him off or our rejection of him. He comes to heal us from a rejected heart. He comes to heal you. Isaiah 57 says this. It says, I withdrew from them, but they kept going their own stubborn way. I have seen what they do, but I will heal them anyway. I will lead them. I will comfort those who mourn, bringing words of praise to their lips. May they have abundant peace, both near and far, says the Lord, who heals them. But those who still reject me are like the restless sea, which is never still. And Jesus meets us at a place of rejection, at the cross, and makes an exchange. And rejection can be very harsh. And we all experience some sort of rejection at some point. I mean, which guy here asked their wife on a date when they first started and she said no on the first moment? How many times, Justin, did you ask Bethany before she said, yeah, I'll go on a date with you? How many? It wasn't the first one, was it? Wasn't the first one. You were rejected. You got up again? Hey? Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Actually, what I do like about this situation is that you have to get past Eleanor. You have to pass the test of actually whether Eleanor will receive you or reject you. And the points, that system that works there, which I'm looking forward to because my girls are getting a little bit older and I'm starting to think about, okay, what if a young guy comes and asks, how am I going to reject this guy? I'm going to invite them to church and get them past the Eleanor test. And if they get accepted or rejected by Eleanor, we'll consider them. Me, myself, and I will consider the rejected. Rejected. Accepted. Yeah, I have a friend who I talk to maybe once a year, and his brother went to him and said, do not marry this girl. Do not marry this girl. And I thought, you know what, that's good advice. I hope he takes it. The next day he proposed to this girl. Oh, congratulations. And a little part of me deep down was like, oh no. And it all seemed fine and rosy for a little while because it's the honeymoon and it's the marriage and the wedding and everything. I don't think I've seen someone go through so much pain. And he rejected that advice, just rejected it. Took him away from God. Oh man, I took him in to work for me. He was a chippy and he couldn't even use a tape measure properly because he was in such pain. If only he had not rejected the advice that his brother gave him, specifically went to his place and said, do not marry this girl. I had a guy and he was really, really sick, like could die. So I shared the gospel with him. And he just rejected it, just said, don't tell me about that stuff. I don't want to hear it. I said, yeah, but you could die. Just rejected it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I thought he might actually come to church. Just got a no, a rejection. It's horrible. Maybe you've had some rejection. Maybe you didn't make the team. I like what Eddie said, because not all rejection is bad or evil. Eddie, he went to Bali. We just mentioned him. Beautiful. Love that. Orphanage, we support. And he's at work, said, you can work in Bali remotely to start with. And then they realised what was going to happen and they went, no, you're fired. Rejected. Got fired. And he just went, God's got something better. What a faith approach. Looked at the facts, looked at the cross, looked at Jesus, thought, well, he's my provider. Didn't make the team selection, you get a better one. God's got something better. But maybe, you know, you got unanswered prayer. There's a sense of a barrier, a sense of something not accepted or rejected. Maybe, it runs a bit deeper. Maybe a father just left, or a mother didn't want you. Or a partner walked out on you. I had a guy, he's a good guy, he's got a couple of kids, and he got to the wedding day and his partner left. And he's moved on, he's got a new partner, but he won't get married. I'm like, you get married? No, not doing that again. Tried that once, got to the altar, she left. We're good. Not a Christian guy, but won't get married because of the barrier that's in his heart. Because he got to a place of rejection and it really hurt him. And there can be some deep wounds from this kind of rejection when people leave and they walk away. But I'm telling you, Christ meets you at a place of rejection. And God's got something better. And we learn to trust and believe the facts when the circumstances or the feelings don't. And even when I had been a Christian for about 7 years, and I started dating Sarah, and we were dating, and it got to the point, well, are we going to get married or aren't we? And I actually called it off. I said, no. I said, we're not going to do this. And she just went, she didn't call me a loser, but she nearly did. She said, well, you're just going to get old and lonely. That's as good as saying you're a loser, isn't it? But you can give her a clap if you like. Well done. Yeah. But I went away and Chris sort of looked at me like, what is wrong with you? And fortunately, Pastor Ruth, because you weren't there, she prayed for me. And I'm like, I'm trying to process. I'm like, what is wrong with me? He didn't actually say that. But then I realised I actually got engaged before I was a Christian. And it fell apart. And when I came near to that place in my heart, there was this barrier there. And I'm like, what? And so I had to look at the facts and I had to look towards Jesus, and I got hold of this scripture that says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And I'm like, I can't listen to that guy. He's dead. He's gone. He doesn't live here anymore. And fear had just risen its barrier inside my heart. And so then I spoke to Sarah on the phone. And I called her. I said, I'll see you, babe. And she's like, you can't call me that. And I'm like, yeah, got you. Ha-ha. Called her babe. And she said, you can't call me that. And I'm like, I'm back in. And she was very gracious. Here I am at 50. I'm telling you, those barriers are real. And the voice of fear. But when you look at the facts and you keep looking at the facts, there's a transaction that occurs. And God comes to heal you internally of your heart that rejects him or is being rejected in whatever way. God's love, when you move towards him, let me tell you that God doesn't have love for you. So for a little while there I thought, I've come to Christ and I've lived a certain way. But these people are more holy because they've always been in church and their lives are good. So God loves them more. God loves these people more than he loves me. And I actually thought like that for a while because of different rejection and shame that came with that. And there's a darkness that comes with that. But God does not have love for you. God is love. And when you come near him, you don't come to a portion. Like I say to my kids sometimes, you're one of my favourites. Love grows with each child. It's not like I've got this much for Ruth and only this much for Mia, and then I love Grace just a little bit more because she's Grace. It's not like that. Love, just you come near to God, you come near to more love, and another layer of his love goes over that irritation. Another layer just shines over the top of sin and of that rejection that is inside. There's more of God's love for you. You are one of his favourites, and you need to keep looking to the facts of the cross, that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, that he was buried in a tomb, and that he came back to life. And when you focus on that, all of the Word of God is alive for transaction between heaven and earth. And love says that you are deeply significant, you are highly valued, you are full of hope and expecting transaction. Can I have the band to come up? I borrowed this off my wife. She doesn't actually know. But no one can see the irritation. No one looks at a pearl and goes, ooh, that was started by a bit of shell in the middle or something that got in there. They just see something that's absolutely beautiful. And God loves you. And he looks down and he just wants to wrap you up in his love. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that even while we were sinners, Jesus, you took it. You died for us. And we thank you, Lord God, for the great transaction of your love and of all the significance and the purpose and the healing and the life that comes through that one transaction, Lord God, that is so available for us today. And we bless that here. We bless, Lord God, our hearts today, that they would draw nearer to you. They'd be wrapped up in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you today. Love to pray with you this morning. You need healing in some area of rejection. Bless you and pray for you. Thank you, Chris.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
There is power in the name, Jesus.